Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of September 1, 2023. This week we pray for those dealing with pain, injury, and rehabilitation. We pray also for those facing disasters and those recovering from disasters. Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because your hand was upon me. For you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious, and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you, to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you, to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked, and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The reading for our discussion is from Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen extraordinary things today." After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And they said to him, "The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink." And Jesus said to them, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, 'The old is good.'" Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. When you know where the fish are, catching one can be as easy as putting a worm on a hook, dropping it in the water, and pulling one up, even just a few seconds later. Other fish are smarter, more elusive. They will nibble at the edges of a worm tugging on your line, and you think you have them, but you pull the line in, and there is no fish and no worm, maybe just a tiny little piece. Many folks will fish with a bobber, but years ago, when I wanted to catch catfish, I would fish without the bobber, and the sinker would go down to the depth of the pond where the catfish dwell. Many times, you would get your gear caught on a bunch of pond moss or an underwater log or a great big stick, but I found that that was the best way to catch catfish. There is another way, and there are much larger catfish than the ones I was pulling in as a 10-year-old. There are some people who will use themselves as bait. Acting like an anglerfish, they will go to remote places, put their hand inside a log underwater, and jiggle their index and middle fingers like worms, and pull out a 40-pound catfish. That kind of fishing is called noodling. To catch fish, you have to know where the fish are, and there are many ways to catch them. Jesus, who was not just a good teacher, but the Son of God and the King of all creation, had taught the people who had come to listen from Simon's boat out in the water. Having finished speaking, he told Peter to put out into deeper waters and let his nets down for a catch. Peter and his partners in fishing had toiled during the better feeding times for fish, the more active times, and they had caught nothing. But at Jesus' word, he let down the nets, and they had in them now a large number of fish, so the nets were breaking. Peter's partners in the other boat came to help, and both boats were filled to the point of beginning to sink. Peter had never had a catch quite like this, and so it was immediately apparent that this was a miraculous occurrence. As we have seen in other passages, the demons immediately saw the spiritual power and majesty of Jesus and were compelled to obey. To humanity, that power is masked to an extent. In the explanation of Luther's Small Catechism, we talk about the two states of Christ. Those two states are his humiliation and exaltation. The fullness of Christ's power is masked in the time of the humiliation. The exaltation comes only after the cross, with Christ's descent into hell, declaring his victory over the fallen enemies of God. Peter is aware that he is in the presence of a VIP sent from God. Seeing the miracle, he already knows his unworthiness and tells Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." If you are a perfectionist, it may be hard to start things and hard to accomplish things. When you get done with something, you may look at the result and the flaws are far more apparent to you. Peter was feeling his unworthiness. With Peter were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Here Peter is mostly called Simon, which according to Avarim publications and other sources means flat-nosed. Jesus tells Peter not to be afraid. From now on, he will be catching men, bringing their boats to land. They left everything behind and followed Jesus. When we get ready to leave on a trip or to give up a previous position or task, we can always think of unfinished business. Peter, James, and John, they leave everything behind. In one of the cities, Jesus came across a man who was full of leprosy. Diseases will progress, and full of leprosy, as the text tells us, indicates that the man must have been in bad shape because of it. A person can become very disfigured because of this disease. It is believed that this comes from a fungus, so it can be treated these days, but people could lose extremities because of the skin and nerve damage that it caused. It has been reported that armadillos may carry the fungus that causes leprosy. People could see very clearly when a person was full of leprosy, and many would be frightened. Those who contracted it would never be the same. They would live as outcasts. It would be a catastrophic life change and a progressive downhill demise. People were afraid to be around lepers for fear of contracting leprosy and even more fearful of touching a person with it. they were unclean. The leper fell on his face and begged Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus is not afraid of this. He stretches out his hand. He touches the man and says, "I will be clean. Put dishwashing soap in water and it repels grease." The disease doesn't cling to Jesus. Jesus repels the disease. He makes the man clean and makes him right. Talk about a huge life change. He was told to tell no one, but he was to go and show himself to the priest, doing as the laws of Moses commanded regarding leprosy. In our world, we can see the effects of disease and fallenness. When Jesus, the King of creation, returns to the creation, bringing the kingdom of God with him, he repels disease. He repels fallenness. He cleanses body and soul. He renews the creation. In this first coming, though, the renewal would be temporary. In the new creation, it will be permanent. Later, Jesus was in a very crowded house, and men were bringing a paralytic to Jesus for healing. The man was lowered through the roof. The text says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus healed the invisible issue. Think of spiritual leprosy. Think of being full of spiritual leprosy. While the healing was real, it was invisible. The scribes and Pharisees saw this as blasphemous. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Knowing their thoughts, Jesus says, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk?" An unrighteous person devoid of God's healing power could neither forgive nor heal the body. To the church, Jesus has given the miraculous power of forgiveness. In absolution and in the sacraments, he gives it through the office of the keys. This is completely out of God's grace. It is not by the pastor's power or righteousness. Believers can forgive one another. To answer Jesus' question, anyone could announce forgiveness. Whether binding or unbinding from sin was taking place, only God would be able to do and see that. The visible proof that showed it was real was even more difficult. Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And the man did, glorifying God, and everyone was amazed. Another hugely life-changing moment. After this, Jesus would visit a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, telling him, "Follow me." This was Matthew, the writer of the gospel by the same name. Matthew would have been able to afford the higher life because of his position, but he left it all behind and followed Jesus. Levi had a great feast at his house, and those who were looked down on in their society were there, dining with Jesus. There were many tax collectors and others. Seeing the gathering, Pharisees and scribes were grumbling to the disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus' answer lays down clearly who Jesus came to see. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This cuts like a double-edged sword. If you believe you are righteous, then you will never see how much you need Jesus' forgiveness. Jesus makes clear that he has come to call sinners to repentance. The truth is, not only are the tax collectors and other frowned upon individual sinners, but so are the scribes and Pharisees. They will never know true righteousness until they quit trying to live the law to perfection and seek the forgiveness that only God can give through his Son Jesus. The fullness of this can only be seen when Jesus is crucified. Only then can everyone see how clearly all humanity is sinful. Those who are supposedly righteous are seen to act and live even more heinously than the sinners they despise. So today, think of those who despise people who put their trust in Jesus, believing in him. Those who believe in Jesus are despised by many, especially those who have adopted for themselves the most worldly of lives. Derision of Jesus' followers is not just reserved for Pharisees and scribes. When you think of it, it is clung to most strongly by those who think they have no sin, but are really sinners just like everyone else. The message from Jesus for everyone is repent. He calls all sinners to repentance. You can only understand Jesus if you know that you are a sinner. It applies to tax collectors, Pharisees, scribes, and those most vociferously bringing their grievances against Jesus and his followers today. To those of us who call on all people everywhere to repent, we may be called hypocrites or even bigots, but the real truth of the matter is that we know we are something even worse, something that kills and destroys. We are sinners, and we know it. The first step to forgiveness in life for every man, woman, and child, for every person, is standing before Jesus and acknowledging that you are a sinner. You are. I must say it. Each man, woman, and child everywhere must say the same. That is when we all let go of the sin to which we have been clinging and cling instead to the only one who can save us out of it. That is Jesus. The Pharisees now criticize the disciples for their activities. They point to John's disciples who fast and offer prayers. Jesus' disciples eat and drink. Jesus points out that days of fasting are coming. The hard journey is coming. They are feasting now because the guest of honor, the bridegroom, is with them, but he will not always be with them. At the end of the chapter, Jesus tells parables about garments and wineskins. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. The new will not match the old. New wine and old wineskins will destroy the wineskins. Fresh wine must be put in new wineskins. And Jesus concludes, no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good. These parables are analogies for the situation at hand and for life itself. Jesus is bringing about something different, even new from what has been done in the past. The things of the past were certainly models of things to come, but Jesus is doing something that hasn't been done before. My wife and my little daughter have been watching shows about bridal dresses. A new bride wants her own dress, and mothers and grandmothers, they are wowed by what they were used to their dresses and styles of the past. A new garment will probably be in better shape, but tearing a piece from the new to repair the old will probably ruin both pieces. In the same way, Jesus is doing something new that has not been done before. It will require putting aside old ways of thinking and old allegiances to other leaders and other people. Jesus is something different. He is not just a man. He is not just any old leader. He is not the most revered scribe or Pharisee. He is greater than them all, and he is even greater than John the Baptist. But this reverence is not due to a man. It is due because he is the Son of God. In the previous chapter, the demons had to bow down to Jesus. In this chapter, now all humanity must come to understand who Jesus is and what he has come to do. He is fishing for men, and he is not just seeking the righteous, not just seeking the self-righteous. He's going where the fish are. He is netting and hooking and noodling whatever is necessary to bring in the fish from the most unexpected places. Those who revere the fathers and leaders of old, Abraham and Moses, those who revere buildings like the temple, which was not even seen as being as great as the temple of old, the temple of Solomon. These are going to say, I like the old wine, and that will be a stumbling block. Jesus works in miracles and sayings and doings. All of them are new wine. Jesus is new wine, and those who love the old are going to have great trouble with that. But those who can get past old habits and old tastes will see that this new wine, Jesus, is the best wine. He is life and salvation. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we have preconceptions and assumptions and opinions that are hindrances and stumbling blocks to us. They keep us from forgiving others and repenting of sins that must be cast aside so that we can take hold of you instead and see you as you need us to see you. Help us to cast aside these things, knowing that life and salvation are to be found in you alone. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for those everywhere who are facing disasters and those who are recovering from disasters, for those dealing with hurricanes and wildfires and every other kind of disaster. We pray that you would protect them and guide them. We pray that you comfort those who mourn, and we pray that you would restore them. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who are dealing with environmental and vaccine injuries, any kind of injury. We pray that you'd bring them healing and restoration. We pray that you'd be with those who are rehabilitating. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special scripture this day comes from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 31. And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." All of our verses, all of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
My faith looks up to thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. My zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. Dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide. Mid darkness turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold soul and stream shall o'er me roll, distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul.